This puts Christian counseling out of business. The body of Christ could come alongside and admonish one another. You're able to do that in Christ, to come alongside rightly. I'm not saying good Christian counselors share the word of God. I'm talking about the bogus stuff out there. But you can do it. The body of Christ. You are able to do it.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Vancouver Bible Fellowship in Vancouver, Washington. And Greg, today's message is a kind of a bit like a Christian's job description. You know, those things that all believers should be doing on a regular basis.
You know, Dave, it really is. For the true believer, God lays forth what we should be doing. And indeed, in our passage here, there's an important list, and one, unfortunately, that in many churches is being ignored and maybe never even taught. And interestingly, Dave, this list is not long. It's not complicated, but often, even in good churches, we are woefully guilty of not obeying it. And I believe this is one of the main reasons why many churches have so many problems and even fall apart. Indeed, when Christians are disobedient and neglect their responsibilities clearly revealed in the Word of God, others in the body will suffer. So today we'll see from the pen of the Apostle Paul what our basic job description as followers of Jesus Christ in relationship to his body is. Our text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Yet spirit-led, Christ-centered, obedient, healthy churches will speak the truth in love and address those things for the good of one another. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. But there's a way in which this is done. We're going to see there are different classes of difficulties, in a sense, within the body of Christ. And there are different ways that we are to deal with it. And sometimes, without having the Spirit's leading, we can take certain passages of Scripture and apply it to certain people who may be having difficulties and apply it to the wrong group, the wrong way, and hurt them quite a bit. We need to understand which group is which and how we are to apply it to one another. And this is what we have in our passage today. Notice he says, and we urge you, brethren. This is really important. We exhort you. We beseech you. It's like someone coming, please do this. Please do this. And then he's going to command them to do it. We urge you. We exhort you. And he says, brethren. He's not speaking to just one group of people that are the super saints in the church. He's not speaking to the leaders or whatever it might be. He's speaking to the body of Christ. That's everybody. He says, we urge you, brethren. You see, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God. We have a new relationship with our Heavenly Father. We are now spiritually related. We've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we are now brothers and sisters of one another. We're in a family, an eternal family. And so he says, we urge you, brethren, that's everybody. This message applies to every single one of us here today if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. These commands are for every single one of us if you name the name of Christ. And so he commands the whole body. And notice he's going to address those different groups that actually pose a threat to themselves and the body of Christ in regards to faith in Jesus Christ. Notice he says, and we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Did you see it? Three different groups. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, is calling upon the body to address three different groups. The unruly, the faint-hearted, and the weak. And we're going to see that each group is addressed differently, and they are not the same. We're going to see that the faint-hearted are not the unruly. Now, there may be some who are unruly who appear to be faint-hearted, but they're not the faint-hearted. We're going to see that the weak are not the unruly. Now, there may be some that are weak that appear to be weak, but they are actually unruly. We're going to see that. There are three separate groups to be addressed in three different manners so that they would be right with the Lord
and their walk would not be a hindrance to themselves or to others around them. So then, he begins with the first group. He says, and we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Now, this term speaks of being out of step. First of all, he actually talks about admonish, and we saw that word earlier. I don't want to talk about that. We parakaleo you, brethren, we urge you, brethren, that's speaking of all of us, to do what? Admonish, this is a command, the unruly. And again, I just mentioned this word earlier, the word nuthateo. It's the same word translated give you instruction earlier. It's unfortunate when the same word is used within two verses that our translators don't translate it the same because you think it's a different word. So I usually prefer the NASB, but in this case, I prefer the New King James if they say, I think they say admonish in both of those, and so I prefer that. But he says, admonish the unruly. The term speaks of warning, instructing, giving instructions in regards to behavior. It speaks of placing in the mind. One commentator says the same thing. He says, often used where wrong tendencies needed correcting. It involves a moral appeal to the will, but based on understanding through biblical instruction. The term admonish in this context speaks of coming alongside with the Word of God and pointing out and saying, look, you're on the wrong track, as we'll say. You're on the wrong track. And you need to confess and get right with the Lord, or there are consequences. He says, admonish the unruly. Now, folks, leaders are not the only ones who are to admonish the body of Christ. Now, we need to be careful. You know, sometimes we've had a time in our church, not anymore, I haven't seen it lately, where people would hear a sermon like this and they would go out and start admonishing everybody for everything. That's not what it's talking about. There's a certain area and a certain thing that we're to do it for, and we'll see that. But we are all able and qualified to do it. You think, I can't do that. Yes, you can. In Christ, you can if you're following Jesus and you love Him and you're abiding in Him. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Now, certainly if you've got sin in your life, that may be the reason why you're not going to do it. Get rid of the sin, confess it, get right with the Lord, and then do the right thing. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Isn't that wonderful? And that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then notice what he says. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to do what? Admonish one another. Boy, this puts Christian counseling out of business. The body of Christ can come alongside and admonish one another. You're able to do that in Christ. You have the knowledge in Christ to come alongside rightly. Rightly. Now, I'm not saying good Christian counselors show the Word of God. I'm talking about the bogus stuff out there. But you can do it. The body of Christ. You are able to do it. And so back in our passage, we see the duty of a functioning body, as we will see, is to address things that, as we'll see, are out of order in people's lives as they walk with Jesus Christ or attempt to. Now, before we get to what specifically we are to admonish, the unruly, as we talk about that, how are we to admonish in general? Well, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the very oracles of God. Speak the word of God. You see, oftentimes we'll admonish, but we'll admonish out of our own wisdom or our own understanding rather than sharing the word of God. This is what's going on in your life. This is what God's word says. These are the consequences. I love you. If you go this way, it's bad. You're in trouble. You need to confess. God will forgive you. So he says, admonish the unruly. What does this term unruly mean? We kind of understand in our English word, unruly, right? Think of an unruly child. He's one that's not listening to his parents, doing his own thing, right? The term spoke of a soldier. It's a military term. It spoke of a soldier who was out of step or out of rank or moving in disarray. It spoke of that which was out of order. It could also speak of one who was insubordinate as a military person. One who was openly disobeying orders. Openly disobeying orders. In the context of what we're seeing here, the unruly are those who are openly disobeying God's word. That's what it is. It could be on a very evil level or a very simple level. We tend to think certain things are much worse than others, and they are.
but then we don't recognize some sins are still sins. He says here, the unruly, they're the out of step. They've strayed off the path. They're walking in disobedience, but they are among you. That's the context here. Now, this is not simply, I believe, speaking of those walking in gross immoral sin, which would certainly be out of step. It seems to imply they're still in the body of Christ, yet they're out of step. They need to be warned of the temporal and eternal consequences of their actions so that they would confess and forsake or repent and get back on track. And you say, what are these unruly? What are these terrible sins possibly, or what might it be? I think we have a perfect example of this in 2 Thessalonians. We have people who were actually following the Lord, but they were disobeying in one area of their lives, and it needed to be addressed, and it was addressed by the Apostle Paul. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You see, there were some in the church who were waiting for Jesus Christ. They were doing the right thing, but their focus was out of bounds. It was messed up. And they had stopped working because Jesus is coming. And then they became a burden on the body of Christ, an unloving burden. And they were going against the instruction that Paul had shared with them by example and clearly concerning their responsibility to work. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and notice the words that are used here. It's the same word we have in our passage, and I'll point it out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, get a little more firm here, in the name of the Lord, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads what? An unruly life. Okay? Now he's going to explain. Because when we think of unruly, we think of someone who is like, you know, just a wild man or something, you know, with sin left and right. Look at what he says. This is the unruliness he is speaking of. It's someone who's out of step and not according to the tradition which you have received from us. That's the word they gave them. For you yourselves know, he's explaining how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. And he goes on to speak about the fact that there are some that aren't working. And that he gave them the command that if anyone will not work, they will not eat. They were out of step in that area. They weren't, I don't believe, blatantly going into immorality. They were out of step. Okay? They're unruly. And he says, hey, you need to address this. They were probably those who were zealous about the area of doctrine of Christ's coming, and they had rejected, in a sense, the other instruction to take care. They were out of step. They were rejecting that. You see, when someone in the body is not functioning properly, we are supposed to respond the right way. And notice how they're called to respond. They're called there to keep aloof, to stay away. And notice what he says, 2 Thessalonians 3. Again, he says, keep aloof. And then look down at verse 14. And if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him so that he may be put to shame. Okay, wow. The instruction was to get a job. Okay? And yet, do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In verse 11, a little bit back, he talked about some leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all. The term undisciplined, that's our word, an unruly life. Doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Maybe they were spiritual busybodies. Maybe they were doing church stuff or whatever it might be, but they weren't working and providing. They were out of step. That's one example that we can clearly see here. And concerning that issue, they are to stay aloof of them until they respond, right? We're going to see that this really falls in line with what we see in other passages concerning how the church is to deal with sin in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says in verse 9, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not mean at all the immoral people of this world, or the covetous, or swindlers, or idolaters, all should have to go out of the world. I didn't mean to pull yourself away from the world. And then he goes on, he says here, but I actually wrote you, 1 Corinthians 5:11, not to associate with any so-called brother. And he goes on to give a list of sins, and there was one that was in their midst. He says, you know, we don't judge outsiders, we judge those in the body of Christ. And then we looked at Matthew 18 partially last week. The reality, if your brother sins, go to him in private. That's something no one else is seeing. Go to him in private. If he listens, praise the Lord. If he doesn't, bring two, you know, and talk about, if he doesn't listen there, tell to the church. If he doesn't, treat him as an outsider. Well, here, this unruliness is already at the point where everybody sees it. So what do? You're all to do it. Admonish the unruly. And if they don't respond, separate from them. Love them, but separate from them in a sense, right? That's what he's talking about here. Very basic. Remember I told you, 1 Thessalonians is very young in the church. And we're seeing principles that are relayed more clearly, or even the Lord related in Matthew 18, in the other scriptures. So then, those who are out of step, we are to warn. The warn is a good word, warn or admonish. We're to take the word of God and lay it across their behavior that is out of step. Point to what is right. We're to provide, 1 Timothy chapter 5. If you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an unbeliever. You need to be providing for your family. You need to not be a burden on the body of Christ. That's not love. Share the word of God. There are consequences if you continue in this direction. Maybe it means your heart is not right before the Lord. Maybe you don't know the Lord, and I care for you. There are consequences. First of all, you're hurting everyone around you, and you're going to hurt yourself, too. The way of the transgressor is hard. The Lord says you should be working, whatever it might be. What about someone forsaking assembly? Listen, brother, you're forsaking assembly. You're out of step. You're focused on your own life. Something's wrong here. We love you. We care for you. The reality is, Hebrews says that maybe, just maybe, if this is your lifestyle, that you really haven't been forgiven of your sins and judgment's on its way. I don't want to see that, brother. I hope you're a brother. We come along with them with the word of God. Look at the way you seem to, you're continually speaking evil of people. That's wrong. You're gossiping. It's wrong. Whatever it might be, admonish the unruly. And it's any area in that sense. It's any area. They're out of step. They're disobedient. They're not functioning properly in the body. Warn them for their good. Treat them in the context of love. Warn them. So we're all commanded to warn those who are out of step. Do you know anybody out of step? Got a certain area in their life, and they're in the body of Christ. They're not functioning properly. They're out of step. Someone who doesn't seem to take the command that we are to be anxious about nothing. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, they're worrying all the time, and it comes out all the time. They don't listen when they hear the word of God. You need to trust the Lord. We're commanded not to worry, but to pray and bring all of our stuff before the Lord, and He'll guard our hearts and minds. He'll take care of you. Trust Him. Stop sinning. Stop going that way. You're out of step. I care for you. Whatever it might be. Now, it doesn't mean we don't trip up. Galatians chapter 6 talks about the fact that we are to come alongside those who are caught in a trespass. These are those who in some area are out of step. They are not doing what God's word says, and it is clear. Okay? Come alongside and admonish them. We're all responsible to do that. Now, again, I warn you, this is not for those who are not spirit-led. The body of Christ should be spirit-led. It's not for those to run around and be the admonishers of everyone. For every little thing. No, love covers a multitude of sins. This is for people's good, that they would follow Christ rightly. And so back in our passage, he says, the first command, we are to warn the wayward, we're to admonish the unruly. But notice there's a second command. Encourage the faint-hearted. The term faint-hearted is an interesting word. It means literally small-souled. It could speak of someone who's weak in the soul, weak inside. Not sick, but weak, a despondent, faint-hearted. Now, we need to remember, it's very important that we don't confuse this being small-souled or faint-hearted and also weak, the next command, with being out of step. You see, these are not those who are unruly. These are not those who are openly disobeying God's word on purpose. They are not openly rebellious to what is being told to them. They're saying, oh, I don't want to worry. I know it's wrong. Help me. I don't have the power. I feel so inadequate. They actually don't argue with you at all about what you share with them concerning sin. They want to do the right thing. These are not the unruly. Remember that. Now, the weak and the faint-hearted can become unruly if they don't respond rightly. We'll see that. Now, we need to be careful because sometimes, many times, people will act like they are weak or faint-hearted, but they're really out of step. They're rebellious towards the word of God. They'll say, I'm so weak, giving excuses, whatever it might be, but they don't say, yes, this is the right thing and I want to do this. This is about the faint and the weak, not those who will argue with you and give excuses to defer their culpability concerning the issues at hand. This speaks of those who actually want to do, I believe, what's right. They're not unruly. but there's a problem, and we need to come alongside, as we're going to say. The term faint-hearted, small soul, what does that mean? It speaks of one who lacks spiritual courage. It's not a good thing, but it's not an outright rebellious thing, but it's not a good thing. They want to follow Christ, yet when suffering hits, they fall apart. They lose sight of Jesus. Every problem is insurmountable. The trials are debilitating. They've lost sight of Christ. They're paralyzed by their difficulties. They actually know what's right and they want to do it, but they can't do it. They seem to be paralyzed. They seem to be so small in their soul in a sense. Oh, the small-souled. Practically speaking, they have lost sight of who God is and what He's truly promised. They lost sight of who He is. And they need to be, as we will see, encouraged. This is what they need. They want to do the right thing. Now, I think it's possible who he's speaking of are those in whom he has addressed issues earlier. They were those who were grieving like the world because they thought they had lost their relatives who had come to Christ, but Christ hadn't come yet. They needed to be comforted with the word of God that, no, Jesus is coming. He'll bring them with you. Don't worry about it. It's okay. The term encourage here is an interesting word. Some versions say comfort. It speaks of speaking in a friendly manner to comfort or console. It speaks of rousing up someone's will to what ought to be done. It speaks of rousing up hope for a good outcome. Encouraging one to continue the course. Fight the good fight, brother. Don't be discouraged. This is what God says. You're going to make it. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's gracious. He's kind. He's merciful. If you trust him, he'll perfectly bring forth what he has promised. Encourage them. Console them. Point them to Jesus. They're small-souled. It's not a good thing, but God wants to help them. And if this is you, we are to come alongside you when this is manifest. The whole body is. I know you're sad about your loved ones that have passed away, but we'll see them again. We're going to meet them in the air when Jesus comes. I know persecution seems horrible right now. We're suffering greatly, but we're not destined for wrath, but for salvation. Comfort them. The same word was used earlier by the Apostle Paul in chapter 2, verse 12, to speak of the way he came alongside and admonished and comforted. You see, we have to treat people differently based on where they're at. Now, if this person is faint-hearted but yet is really unruly, then we treat him as the unruly, by the way. Encourage the small soul.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Greg's message today is from his series in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the few moments that we have left in today's broadcast, how can we encourage the faint-hearted?
You know, Dave, we can encourage them in a number of ways, and many of them are really not difficult or time-consuming, yet they all must be done in the context of trusting Christ. So how can we encourage the faint-hearted? First of all, we need to pray for them. We need to be praying for one another, but especially for those who are in difficult situations. And it's not some half-hearted prayer or half-hearted statement to somebody, hey, I'm praying for you, but really praying for them, letting them know that you are lifting them up to the Lord of the universe. Mm. And along with prayer, it is crucial that we share the Word of God with them. Ultimately, God is the God of all comfort, and He is the one who comforts us with His truth concerning who He really is, what He has done in Christ, and what He will do. Are you willing to come alongside a fellow believer who is discouraged and encourage them with the Word of God? We're commanded to do so. I pray you will step out in faith as the Lord opens the door for those you see around you that might be discouraged, and that you might step forward and encourage them with His Word.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Vancouver Bible Fellowship.